Well, hello there, top teachers. We are your hosts, Bridget Spackman
and Michelle Emerson, and we're here to make your life easier by helping you master your time, organization, and productivity as a teacher.
With the first quarter of 2024 in the books, we are digging into our goals. So grab your planners, pull all of your goals that we started in 2024, and let's hold each other accountable with a little check-in.
Which we're actually going to start with a TSH, and Bridget and I are going to share our own personal time-sucking hurdles lately. Uh-huh. Although mine is not necessarily bad. It's just something that's been time-consuming, although it is working toward one of my goals. So I know we're going to dig into like each of our kind of smaller goals that we've had going on, but spoiler alert, in the year 2024, I kind of had this overarching goal of reading 52 books in a year, which, basically, it's on my 40 before 40 list as something I want to do.
Okay.
And since my January goal was directly tied to reading, I was like, you know what? I should just stick with it and try to reach this goal of reading 52 in a year, which is essentially a book a week. It doesn't have to be a book every week. Some weeks I could read two and then skip a week.
Yeah.
But I'm still on track. Like I've kept up with it. However, it is very time consuming because I've realized I enjoy reading nonfiction more than I enjoy reading fiction.
Yeah.
And nonfiction takes longer because there's more for your brain to absorb. And I'm a note taker. I've gone through like five different highlighters because I highlight as I read. And then I transfer over the things that I've highlighted into my notes app. And it just really slows down the process. But at the same time, I want to get the most out of it. So that has been my time sucking hurdle. Bridget, I know what yours is, but how about you tell the people?
I'd much rather be having your time sucking hurdle. I'm just going to be honest. Mine has been just slide decks, and more flipping slide decks. And what I mean by that is that this has just been the busiest time for us, like at the IU, just as staff developers. It seems like everybody was like, oh, we need to like fit in all this PD stuff before PSSAs. Let's overwhelm everyone with all the different things. So I have had so many presentations that I've been getting ready for. I'm like, I'm past the hump. Like I'm going downhill. If I counted it right, I think I had like four or five within the next like 2 weeks that I have to get done. And that includes presenting it. So it's getting better. I'm feeling like, oh, okay, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. All is going to be well pretty soon. It's just been a lot lately.
Yeah, I know it has. And that's why I said I know what Bridget's TSH is, because we've been sending each other little voice messages. And it is nice knowing that she's kind of over that hump and on the downhill. Can I ask you, how do you develop these? Like, are you given content and it's like, hey, put this into a slide deck, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question. There are a lot of slide decks that are already done that we just kind of have like a master list of those slide decks. And so I can pull from some of them. I'm going to be honest, some of them I don't love. And so I have to make them a little bit better in my style, because I really want things to be practical. I want them to be actionable, and I want people to feel like they're leaving with something that they can take back and start to implement. When it's too much of just the science and it feels very repetitive from one slide deck to another, I hate that. Like I cannot stand it. It drives me absolutely nuts. Like as a presenter, I don't think that's great to do that for teachers. So what will happen is a school will come and say, hey, we are really looking for this. And they'll give us a topic. From that topic, my supervisor will sometimes set up outcomes. Sometimes I establish the outcomes after meeting with that point of contact. And so I will have a conversation about what are the needs, What have they already done? And so a really good example is a school that I'm going to be doing next week on sound walls. They've already had articulation, pronunciations. A lot of them have gone through letters, but now they're all receiving sound wall kits. And so she wants to build a connection. She wants them to explore the sound wall kits that they've purchased from Tools for Reading. And so she asked me to kind of do certain pieces, which is great. Fine. So once I have those outcomes set up, I create the outcome. And the way that they have it for us is that we create an outcome, we give the content, but then we have to have almost like an assessment. And I put that in quotes mm-hmm. because it's not like a true assessment. It could be like a sort. It could be a reflection. It could be something to get them to go back to the outcome and then think about the content and how they're going to apply it back into their classrooms. So... And then once you do all the outcomes, you have an opening, you have a closing, and that's really about it. So I've learned the structure. It's just it's still just been a lot. When you're dealing with like autism, MTSS, executive function, sound walls, literacy, when you're dealing with like complex needs, like there's so many different areas that I feel like I have my toes in that it's like, oh, okay, now I'm gonna switch my brain and now focus on this version. So it's a lot.
Yeah. And when you were saying at the beginning how you have slide decks to pull from, but it doesn't always fit your presentation style or the way you want to be able mm-hmm. to present it to the audience to make it practical for them, it reminds me of, as teachers, sometimes we were given lesson plans or even slides and you're like, okay, like the content maybe is good, but I need to restructure it in a way that fits my teaching yes. style. And that then adds in more work. It's not always about making it, you know, cute. I mean, sometimes I think we both were guilty of that, but it's more so having it fit our style of being able to then present that information yeah. to our students, or in this case, to the teachers and educators you're presenting to.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we shared our goals in 2024 in an episode for, that's 210. Wow, words are hard this morning, guys. So we shared our goals in 2024 during an episode 210, hashtag goals. What are we doing differently in 2024 to get hashtag results?
So in this episode, we're going to be vulnerable and do a check-in for the first quarter. So we're going to let you know how January through March went when it comes to achieving or working toward those goals that we set at the start of 2024. In full transparency, we are recording this on March 24th, which means there is still a week left of the month of March. So we're not technically at the very end of quarter one, but we're close enough and we had to get this episode recorded.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to start by going with an overview of just the words that we selected to really kind of guide our path for 2024. And I'm going to kick us off. So my word for 2024 was growth. That is my North Star at this moment, and I am fully embracing it in this year. And what growth really means is just about being very intentional. Really guiding the decisions that I'm making to ensure that I'm growing as a person in all aspects of my life and not just one area of my life. And I've got to be honest, it's not very easy. I do feel very vulnerable, especially just being in the position that I'm in and trying to grow as an educator in learning so many different new things. It's been hard for me this year, but I am very, very thankful for the opportunities to learn and just grow.
Yeah, I do think it was a perfect word for you for this year with that new position and the change that comes along with it. And as a result of change, you're kind of forced to grow. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
So my word for 2024 has been intentional, and I wanted to give a shout out to Emily. You know who you are. She actually messaged me on Instagram back in January with a phenomenal idea. She told me when she picks a new word for the year, she will associate a symbol with it, and then she will have that symbol represented on like a necklace, or she'll put it somewhere that she can see it. Now, I tried to come up with a symbol for intentional, and I would see like arrows and targets. It just didn't resonate with me though. I just like the word. So I went on to Etsy and actually found a very simple necklace and had the word intentional engraved on it. the store, I'll link it in case anyone else wants to get something similar, but the store is called Custom Brights. Now, Brights is B-R-I-T-E-S, but it's a very simple gold chain, and then it has a real tiny little gold bar where the word intentional is engraved. It's very subtle. It has not left my neck since I put it on when it arrived in like mid-January. I absolutely love it. I shower with it. I sleep with it. I work out with it. And it's just a phenomenal reminder every time I see it in the mirror. And then I'll also find myself like kind of touching it. And every time I touch it, I think about that word, which I love. The other thing that I've done just to keep the word at kind of the forefront of my mind is in our digital personal planner, which if you're curious about that, head over to teachonthedouble.com/store. It's a great purchase for organizing your life outside of the classroom. Each month has a planning page, and part of that planning page is a little box and it says like your focus. So I actually went on to Google and found like one of those definition images where it has the word and then it like puts the definition underneath.
Yeah.
And I cropped it down to fit that space. And I've actually been copying it every single month and putting it in that same box. That way it's always there. And then I'll just find myself kind of repeating the word during my daily activities or at the gym where I'm like, be intentional, be intentional. And I've really enjoyed it. I feel like it's been a good word for the year. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to break down our goals thus far for January through March of 2024. So stay tuned. If you are ready for your productivity to blossom this April, Bridget and I have 3 easy steps you can follow. Step 1 is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/014 to download our free classroom spring cleaning checklist that you can use to get your space tidied up so you can be as efficient as possible.
Step 2 is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/001 to download our free habit tracker and then choose a new simple habit you can adopt this month to help you become your best self, such as ending each workday with a 0 inbox or taking a walk outside to get some fresh air.
Finally, step 3 is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/store to grab our digital personal planner, which is ideal for organizing all aspects of your life, especially outside of the classroom. Every month has planning and reflection pages that will revolutionize your productivity without a doubt. I've been using them every month this year, and I feel like I've finally locked into a system that actually works for getting things done.
Again, those links are teachingonthedouble.com/014 for the free spring cleaning checklist, teachingonthedouble.com/001 for the free habit tracker, and teachingonthedouble.com/store for the digital personal planner. We promise you can complete these 3 steps in less than 5 minutes and allow your productivity to come into full bloom this spring. But for now, back to the episode. All right, we are back and we are going to start breaking down our goals to see how we did. I'll kick us off and just hopefully tell you guys that I have a lot of really good news when it comes to my goals here. So I, for the quarter one, that's January through March, I broke my goals down by quarter. So Michelle and I did them a little bit differently, which I think is really nice for this episode because everybody has different perspectives. And so you're getting 2 different viewpoints on how to create your goals and making sure that you're tracking them. So because I did mine by quarter, and because growth is really meant to be all aspects of my life, I decided to break it down in the different areas. So I have personal, I have business, and then I have professional. So the business part of it is like bridging literacy, teaching on the double, like that's kind of the business aspect of my goals. So for quarter one, my personal goal was to have 2 nights of uninterrupted family time. This could be games, food, movie, anything that I wanted to do, but I really wanted to just grow when it came to how I was spending time with my family and just making sure that I was putting them in the forefront. Because let's just be honest, like I have a teenager, he's driving. Guys, he's driving. Like what in the world? And pretty soon he's going to end up going to college and he's going to be leaving. And so I just want to capture these moments as much as possible because they're going by very quickly. This goal has been strong. I am very proud of this goal. Like, we will sit down. We've been better about eating meals as a family, which when you have picky eaters, like, that is not an easy thing to do, but we've been much better about it. We play card games together. We just kind of relax together. We'll watch TV shows. We'll go out and do things together, which has been so much better for me as far as like my mental health goes. Because I've just really enjoyed that time with my family and my kids. I feel like sometimes when things are really busy, it's very easy to be like, I'm busy, I can't do that. I can't do that like right now because I have a lot going on. So I try to remind myself, nope, you need to put that down. Like, it's okay. And you need to go spend time with your kids and your family and making sure that you're being present for them. So that has been really nice. I've had a busy few weeks at the very end of March, but I've still tried to be really purposeful with how I'm spending time with them whenever they come home from school. So still going to try to keep working on that area and pushing forward. My hope is that I don't necessarily stop doing the things that I'm doing. I want to continue doing the things from quarter one, but it's like I'm adding another layer to it, if that makes any sense.
It does, because I've basically done the same thing. Okay. It's almost like you use that month to build it in as a habit.
Yeah.
And then you want to be able to just stack on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for business, I said that I was going to host 2 live chats each month for the first quarter. Absolutely did that. And I was very, very excited about it. However, while I thought it was like going to be incredibly beneficial for my community members, it was just too much for them. So I am going to pull back. We're really just going to be more focused on like, how can we grow as professionals during that 1 month call that we have? So I'm pulling back for this next quarter and just really keeping it more of like, okay, well, what can we focus on to help us grow? So is it going to be something academic? Is it going to be something mindset? Is it going to be something like organizing and prioritizing different tasks that we have as teachers? And that's going to be the focus of our discussions every single month. And I'm hoping that that goes better than the 2 chats, because it was just a lot. Like, teachers have a lot going on during
the it's
during
a busy time of year.
Yeah, for sure. And then for my professional, I said that I was going to finish the following books: Leading Equity-Based MTSS, Comprehensive Literacy for All, and then the PD book. I was so close to this, guys. I was so close. That Comprehensive Literacy for All is just, it is a lot. And going back to Michelle, when you were talking about like the nonfiction books and highlighting and like taking notes, that mm-hmm. book has so many notes that need to be taken. So I was like, you know what? It's fine. I'm going to get it done over the summer. I'm not going to try to push myself because there was a lot going on in the month of March. So I did get the Leading Equity-Based MTSS book done. I got the PD book done. And then I'm just going to have to push that Comprehensive Literacy to the summer.
Yeah. And I think that's okay to acknowledge. Like, it's not always about reaching every single goal. In fact, I've read a lot of research on how, you know, dopamine spikes mm-hmm. highest just before you reach the goal. It's like that anticipation. And so if we focus more on like the process, because the process is really what's building that confidence, that self-esteem, that right. pride, it's not always about the end goal, because sometimes there are things out of our control, whether it's other aspects of life that got in the way or unexpected things that happened. But yeah. As long as you develop the right habits to be able to make that a reality, I think that's important.
Listen, I'm just proud that I actually finished 2 books. And it wasn't on Audible, guys. Can I please point that out? Like, these are physical books because they're not available on Audible or Kindle. So that's pretty impressive for me, because you know that's a hard task for me to do.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you say that they weren't on Audible, because Valerie is a loyal listener of the podcast, and she came to Austin, and her and I just kind of spent the day together, checked out some food places. We went for a walk, and one of the things we talked about on the walk was reading, and we both agreed, and I know not everyone's on the same page, that like an audiobook and reading a physical book, it's just not the same, like in terms of, you know, the way that your brain has to engage in it. And so I feel like that is something I will fight to my deathbed of like, yeah. You can't just do audiobooks and say, I read this many books, because it's not the same.
No, like, it's not.
There is something about working through a physical book that just, it requires more like mental energy, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. It absolutely does. I will say like, fictional text, that's the only way that I will get through a fictional text is through audiobooks. And I have noticed that there are certain times when I cannot be present in an audiobook. Do you know what I mean? And like pay attention to the stories. However, there are like my long car rides when I'm driving like an hour and something minutes to get to a school. Like those are my times to like really just one kind of step away from the educational aspects of everything and just enjoy a really good story. And I really, I really like that. Now, nonfiction, I've tried to listen to some of the educational nonfiction books on, oh my gosh, they're horrible. They're terrible. Yeah. Like the voices are horrible. I'm like, this is not okay. So I'm going to just stick to my Kindles for those when I absolutely can.
Yeah. And I think that that's okay. Well, that's the perfect transition into my goals, because I broke my goals down by month. So every month of 2024, I'm choosing a goal for that month. It's something that realistically I can achieve within that month time frame. So my January goal was to read 5 books. And I knew that that would kind of set me up for this whole reading 52 books in a year. And it would develop those habits that I needed. So my goal was to read 5 books. I am proud to say I actually read 6 books. So nice. I surpassed that goal. Now, the books that I read in January were Think Like a Warrior. That was kind of like a sports psychology type book. The Power of Habit, which obviously was habit related. The Slight Edge, which was another kind of productivity type of book. Relentless, which was another like sports psychology book. A Spark of Light, which is a fiction book. And then It Starts With Us, which that was the like sequel book to It Ends With Us. And I will say this is what made me realize I really enjoy the nonfiction more than the fiction, even though the fiction, it is kind of like a mental release. It's just, I almost feel not guilty for reading fiction, but I like to finish a book and feel like I got stuff out of it that I can apply to my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're so goal-oriented.
Yeah. So I've gotten a lot of questions about like, well, how are you now reading this much? So some of the things that have worked for me, first of all, each month, because I have continued this since the end of January, I will pick out the books I plan to read the next month prior to that month starting, and I will keep them out and visible. So right now, when you walk in our house, to the left, there's like a little kind of sitting room. We have a chair in the corner with a table. I will put the stack of books I'm going to read on that table. So every time I go to leave my house, I see them, and it's very, very visible to me. I also have found that rather than reading a little each day, which I have done some of, I prefer to spend 1 to 2 days and just go hard into the book and finish it, because it's easier for my brain to absorb the information kind of all at once. But there have been times where I've had to just work it into my routine and say, okay, I'm just going to read for 30 minutes this morning, make progress in the book, and like I'll get it done eventually. In terms of keeping track of all of it, I create a note in my notes app for each book, and I will type out those notes, especially if it was a nonfiction. I actually start the outline before I read the book. So when I start a new book, I go ahead and make the note with the title, and then I look at the table of contents, and I will set up those headings based on the table of contents. And then when I finish a book, I have an ongoing note in my notes app with just the list of books that I've read in 2024. But I also downloaded a free app called TBR Bookshelf. TBR stands for To Be Read. And it's a great place to be able to like kind of bookmark books that you plan to read. And then when you finish them, you mark them as read. And what I really love is it will display them on like this little virtual bookshelf, and you can set a goal for the year. So it'll kind of show you your progress toward that goal. And you can also go in and like rate the book, which is really nice to look back on. So I've enjoyed that. And I will say this whole process has allowed me to enjoy reading more. And I now look forward to diving into the books that I pick out. I enjoy the new perspectives and takeaways that I end up getting from it. So it has been very rewarding. Since January, I read 4 books in February because February obviously is a little bit of a shorter month. And then my goal for March has been to read 5 books. I currently have read 4, so I have 1 more to read, but I'm at 14 books for the year, which I'm very proud of. And I try each month to have a balance of like fiction and nonfiction books. Typically 1 fiction book, I'll let the rest be nonfiction, but within those, it's like one will be sports related, one will be education related, and then the other one will be more of kind of like self-helpy type related books. I will say, Bridget, one of the books that I just finished for March, Tiny Habits.
Oh.
Phenomenal.
Really?
And I went into it not wanting to like it because I'm like, no, no, no. Atomic Habits is my habit book. Like, that is my baby.
Tiny Habits.
I liked it more than Atomic Habits.
Stop it. Are we going to make this our next book one?
Listen, this is a book I will go back and reread every year. I loved it. We'll chat more about it in the future, but very good.
It's on my list.
Perfect. My February goal was more skill oriented. It was to solve a Rubik's Cube. I am proud to announce that I accomplished this on February 1st. Essentially, Billy had gotten me a Rubik's Cube for Christmas. So February 1st, I went on to YouTube. I searched how to solve a Rubik's Cube, as anyone would. Found a 10-minute video for beginners and spent the day. I would say it took me about 2 hours-ish to solve, like to watch the video and kind of work through the steps and be able to solve it for the first time. By the end of the day, I think I had solved it in like just under 3 minutes. Currently, my fastest time is 2 minutes and 19 seconds, although it's more so like my cube. Sometimes it doesn't twist as easily as I want, and other times it'll twist too easily and like go too far, and that slows me down. But I will say, since the end of February, like I got busy and I just kind of stopped. So my Rubik's Cube is actually still sitting out in my living room, but I haven't been actively practicing. Yeah. However, goal was achieved, and that was one of my 40 before 40 things, was to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
So check. And then my March goal was to get certified to teach in Texas. I was a little late starting this one. I didn't initiate the process until March 19th. That's totally on me, but I had a lot of presentation stuff going on that I just had to get done and out of the way first. Plus, I was planning on vlogging the process, which I did do. That vlog, actually, at the time we're recording this, it's going up this next Friday. But by the time you listen, you should be able to go up on YouTube and listen or watch it. I have been vlogging the whole month of March, and I get really confused when I try to record multiple vlogs at once. Yeah. And so I kind of had to wait until the other vlogs were done in order to do this one. But I will say, in terms of the process to get certified, it's a little different for me because I'm coming into this with a certificate in another state. It's not like I'm starting from scratch, like just graduated college. Basically, it took me an hour. I went on to Google and said how to get certified to teach in Texas.
Yep.
Ended up on the like Texas Education Agency website, found a checklist, went ahead and like created the accounts. I uploaded a copy of my current certificate. I had to order my transcripts from like graduate, undergraduate. I had to email some forms to my old district for them to like sign off on my experience. But I'm currently in a holding pattern. Now, I did get a letter from TEA saying, hey, like, here are the tests you need to take. Meanwhile, those forms that I emailed to my old district should be kind of waiving those tests for me.
Stop it. Really?
However, I say should be because I don't know if I really trust my old district. I haven't gotten any kind of a response from the email that I sent it to. I don't even know if it was the right email, but like, I went on the website and I go under former employees and all this stuff is just retirement. And I'm like, no, 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 that's not what I need. I need like HR to fill out these forms. So I'm going to have to follow up and try emailing other people just to be like, hey, like I need someone to fill out this form. But my understanding is because of the years of experience that I have, I shouldn't have to take those tests. Like that's what I found on one of the forms. But so technically, I haven't reached that goal yet. There's still another week. We'll see what happens. But regardless, like I've done everything I can do at this point. Yeah. I'm just kind of waiting. My one rant with this is the fact that the amount of money you have to spend.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I understand.
Nickel and dime you.
Yes. I had to pay $164 non-refundable just to have like my stuff reviewed. On top of that, I had to pay for each of my transcripts to be sent.
How much were your transcripts? Mine were always like, I think $10 to $15.
Yeah. Undergrad was $5 and graduate was $15.
Okay. Yeah.
So that wasn't too much. But then I have to pay for the actual certificate. Uh-huh. Like that $164 was just to get them to review the papers I'm submitting. And then I have to pay to get the fingerprinting done. And I'm like, this is just, I'm sorry, but one thing we can fix in the world of education, if we need more teachers, how about we don't make it cost an arm and a leg just to get certified to then teach for pennies? Come on.
Yep.
All right, I got that out of my system. I know. I'm done.
They nickel and dime you for everything. And then if you change schools, you still have to do that whole same. Well, yeah. Not the 164, but you're still paying for like the transcripts, the fingerprinting, because for some reason I had to get new fingerprints. I'm like, I literally just got this done a year ago. Why are you making me get it again? Because it was actually a little over a year that I had it done. And they're like, we need to have it done again. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But whatever. I mean, whatever.
And I get it that we need safety. Like, I'm not saying don't fingerprint. I'm saying I think that should be a cost that is absorbed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you pay initially, like you pay, and as long as you pass the fingerprinting, you get reimbursed.
Yes.
That's what it should be. And you get hired. Yes, 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 yes.
That would be nice too.
Yeah.
Okay. So now what we're going to do is just share a little bit about our upcoming quarter and what is that going to look like for our goals. So then we're going to do another check-in. This is going to be what, at the end of, Michelle, what is it? May, June, July, at the end of July. So beginning of August is our next check-in.
So yes, like basically through June.
Through June.
So we'll most likely record it in June.
Because it's March, Bridget.
Yes. Yeah. Do you see the what I currently have highlighted on the notes that I put in there for you that said we'll check in June?
So obviously I'm not paying attention to my notes over here. So we're going to do a quick just rundown of what are our upcoming goals. The first one is going to be for me individually. I am going to still keep it separated between personal business and then my professional as far as my growth. And the first one is going to be posting more on social media. I've already started doing that a little bit more, but I'm a bit reluctant to put a number on it because I feel like as soon as I put a number on it, I'm not going to do it because I am that person that just automatically gives up and it's like I just don't want to push through. However, I am still going to put a number on it for the sake of this podcast and hopefully to stick to it. I'm going to do at least 3 posts a week. I feel like that's a pretty decent number. Maybe I should have started with 2, but I'm not really sure. So I'm going to say at least 3. The other thing that I have for my goals is to take my boys on a few small trips. Nothing like super big, but I want to take them on some small trips over the next few months. This can be like we have a few caves around us that we really enjoy. I personally enjoy. I love caves a lot. I don't know if my boys enjoy them as much as I do, but I always think that they're really cool. So hopefully going to a cave, maybe even going to the beach. And then we've had talks about going to Niagara Falls. So that is kind of up in the air at the moment, but it's still something that I would like to do with my family. I do have 2 more books that I'm going to be reading. One is going to be Disrupting Thinking. It's going to be part of a book club that I'm doing with my community. So it's also kind of embedded with that community business aspect piece. And then I'm also going to be reading Comprehension Blueprint. So those are the 2 books that I'm putting on my plate. And then obviously I'm going to try to see if I can finish the Comprehension Literacy for All. We shall see about that. And then I added 1 more goal on there because it's just something that's been bugging me for a little bit. And I really need to figure out some better organizational systems here. And that is to organize my office desks that I have. So we have 2 Alex drawers for our desks that are the bane of my existence. Like I hate them so much. But I also love them, but they're so hard to organize. And I feel like I just keep searching online for the best organizational systems there. And I just go down a rabbit hole, to be honest. So my goal is to hopefully get those organized.
Okay. I think that's a good balance, yeah, like you said, between the different areas of your life. So I'm continuing with choosing one goal for each month that has worked very, very well for me and allowed me to stay on track. I have some ideas, but I'm going to have to kind of figure it out as I go based on some of them require other people. So for example, one thing that I definitely want to do, whether or not it's within the next 3 months, I don't know, it might bleed into later in the summer, but it's an item on my 40 before 40 list, and that is to learn how to drive a stick shift. I've just never had access to a stick shift.
I was about to say, where are you going to get a stick shift?
I'm going to rent a stick shift.
Okay.
Like, get a rental car that's a stick shift. And I'm going to have my parents teach me because they know how to drive a stick shift. And then hopefully I can then teach Billy. I feel like that would be a good transfer of knowledge. But that's something easy, kind of like solving the Rubik's Cube, where it's like, once it's done, it's done. And my parents are like, yeah, it's not going to take you long. So I need to coordinate with my parents on that, though, because they've been busy. They're actually in the process of moving my sister out here to Texas. In fact, like this next week, they're flying back out to Virginia to pack up her stuff. And then my dad's driving the U-Haul back. And so they've been very busy and I need to coordinate with them to make sure that they have the time and availability. So that could be an April goal, but it might need to get pushed back. Another one that I want to do at some point in the next 3 months, although it will not be the month of May, and we'll come back to that, I want to do a no spend month. I've seen people do this where essentially you don't do any extra spending. Mm-hmm. The goal is not, or at least my goal, is not to spend no money because you got bills. You know what I mean? Like, I've got bills, I got to eat, but maybe setting aside, like, okay, I'm going to spend this much on my bills, my required bills. I'm going to spend this much on groceries and not doing any extra purchasing because I've been just going on Amazon and I decide I want something and I just buy it in that moment. And I'm like, Michelle, we should probably sit on this a little bit. Like, that's not a priority. I cannot make that my goal for the month of May because we're traveling to Germany. And so it's just not realistic that I could do that in the month of May, but maybe in June. June, I feel like, would be a good time because it would be post Germany trip and pre Billy's birthday trip in July. So it would be a good time to kind of save up. And then my last idea, I want it to be something relationship related. So my thought was, and I think Billy's currently at the grocery store, so I can say this, and this might be a good one for the month of April. Like every day of the month, doing something to benefit our relationship. Mm-hmm. So whether that's something small, like leaving a sticky note out at the table, making him coffee, or like surprising him with something at work, or sending him like a surprise text message, just something every day to like help our relationship blossom. It reminds me of when we first started dating, which we started dating in like December, that February for Valentine's Day, leading up to Valentine's Day, I did 14 days of Valentine's Day. And so this was back when I was in college, but I would drive to his house every morning and I would leave a little bag on his car that had like some kind of a pun. So it would be like, you're the apple of my eye. And it had like an apple in there, or it was a lot of candy. It was a lot of candy, but you know, every day it gave him something to look forward to. And I wouldn't necessarily tell him that like, hey, this is my goal. I would kind of see if he would like pick up on it. But I thought that that would be a good one for like the next month. And I'm trying to balance my goals between these different areas of my life as well.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Those are my thoughts.
I love it. We would love to hear how your goals are going. So if you want to reach out to us through Instagram for Pocket Full of Primary and bridging.literacy. Share with us some of the goals that you've had and whether or not you've achieved them for this first quarter of 2024. We would love for you to also take some time to check out the website and submit your time-sucking hurdle. What is the thing that is really sucking up all of your time at the moment? You can be featured right here on the podcast or even be an inspiration for an entire podcast episode. And if you have not already subscribed to the podcast, please make sure to do so. It is completely free, and all it does is notify you when we drop our brand new episodes on Thursday morning. And we would love for you to leave a review over on iTunes. It really does help us to get into the ears of so many other teachers, and we just like hearing from you guys. So thank you so much for that time that you are taking out of your day to leave us a review. So until next time,
be timely,
stay organized,
and be productive.
Bye-bye.
See ya.